Everybody found a nice, comfortable seat? Make sure it's comfortable. You'll be in it the next hour and a half. Eventually, we'll get to a verse or two in Psalm 46, if you want to turn there. But to start with, we'll just talk a little bit. You know, I hadn't been had my driver's license very long, and the youth group from West Albemarle was going to go to a state Baptist youth convention. And the only adult that could go was a lady. You know, she was one of the youth leaders. Didn't want anybody to drive the bus. So they knew I'd been driving the truck, hauling produce, so they called me over to the church one Thursday evening and gave me the bus keys. Said, go try it out. I drove it around two or three blocks and came back, and there wasn't any dents or scrapes on it. So they said, you're good to go. And so Friday evening, we loaded the youth up. The one lady that was going to look after us, keep us all under control. And we drove out of town, went to a motel where we were going to spend the night. And I drove the bus back and forth to the church where we had our meetings and back and forth to the restaurants, to the motel. Sunday afternoon, we started back. There's one little detail that nobody told me. The gas gauge was not accurate. And so I coasted to a stop out of gas right in front of the donut dinette. Sunday evening about 3 or 4 o'clock. Now, bus had good tires on it, good motor. Oil had been changed. Seats were as comfortable as an old school bus could be. But out of gas, we weren't going anywhere. We were at a dead stop. You know, it concerns me that there are a lot of Christians that are out of gas. It shows up in a lot of ways. One way it shows up is that they just quit coming to church. Doesn't matter what church, they just quit going to church. Doesn't matter if they got a good church or a bad church, a good preacher, a bad preacher, or halfway in between, they just quit. Because they've lost their enthusiasm. Some just drop out completely, some just go part-time. Some keep going to church, but somehow or other there's just no joy in it. No pleasure in it. No excitement in it. You know, it's just like I'm in suspended animation waiting for heaven, because I know when I get to heaven it's going to be great and it's going to be joyous, it's going to be wonderful, but man, for the time being, that's just blah. Well, Christianity was never meant to be blah. Amen. You know, Paul keeps writing, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. And all of the Psalms about giving praise and thanksgiving and joy and everything that has to do with loving the Lord. And it's sad and it makes me sorrowful to think of all of the Christians that have lost their joy and are out of gas spiritually. Now, let's look another illustration. You remember when your kids were little, and some of you still have little kids, and you put them in their little high chair, you put the bib around them, and if you're smart, you put an apron or a bib around you. And you lined up their little baby food jars of peas and carrots and green beans. You took the little spoon and you start sticking it in. Now, the reason you wore your bib because or aprons is because a lot of times they spit it back on you. I know that never happened to any of you, but they spit it out and dribble it down their chin and down their chest and everything else. You know, the only food that did them in, it didn't matter how much you stuck in their mouth, the only food that did them any good was what they swallowed. And then that food could help them to grow. It's even the same for us as adults. You can be in the finest all-you-can-eat restaurant in the state, and if you don't eat anything, it doesn't do you any good. You can eat, but if you just eat junk, it won't do you any good. Even if you eat healthy stuff, but you have some type of medical condition that keeps that food from being absorbed into your system, you're going to be malnourished. Why are so many Christians out of gas spiritually? It's because they're malnourished spiritually. We're malnourished spiritually, and we've lost our joy. You know, today, there is an abundance of good, godly Christian books, CDs, church services, godly Christian music. Depending on the type of TV system you have, you can get several channels and get good preaching on it 24/7. It's like that all-you-can-eat restaurant. It's just there available for us. But yet we're malnourished. We're malnourished spiritually. Those older ones of us, think back to when we were kids, and then think back to, you know, even years before that. What happened when you wanted to go somewhere? You walked. You rode a horse, or you rode in a wagon. And if the horse knew where you were going, you could sleep. You know, the horse knows the way home. There's only one set of ruts, and once you got your wagon in those ruts, that's where you were going. Houses were hot, and there was no air conditioning. So we built the big porches, and we sat on the porch after supper and rocked. Now, you may have shelled beans or strung beans or something like that, but it's just sort of a mindless thing. In the winter, you sit by the stove or the fireplace, and may have done some knitting or crocheting or something, but it wasn't something that occupied a lot of your mind. And so, as a result, you had plenty of time to think, to meditate, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now, how is it now? TV's going on in the den or the living room. TV's sitting there on the counter in the kitchen. Cell phone's buzzing in you, on your hip or wherever you keep it. Radio's playing. Kids are playing video games. Racket. And you can't go to sleep driving, and you shouldn't be texting driving, because somebody will run over you or you'll run over somebody. We live in such a hectic world that it's hard to spend time thinking and meditating. That's why what the psalmist says, Psalm 46, the last two verses. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if you have one of those Bibles that has Selah after it, that means pause and think about it. Give it some concern. Give it some thought. We're out of gas spiritually because we're malnourished spiritually, And we're malnourished spiritually because we don't spend enough time with God. Quality time. Time really thinking, meditating, concerned. So often we're too busy or too distracted to spend time with God. And the psalmist said, listen, if you're going to be spiritually fed, you have to be still in the presence of God and allow Him to speak to you. Now, I know in the Bible there's some times like Paul on the road to Damascus or Gideon at the threshing floor when God just sort of pops us upside of the head, you know, with a quick message. But most of the time, our spiritual growth depends upon whether or not we're going to spend some time with the Lord. It was interesting this week. One of the devotionals that I read is by Charles Spurgeon. Now, he's been dead over something like 130 years, so he wrote this a long time ago. And then another, I was listening to a CD by a preacher named Greg Fritz. Both of them, you know, 100 and some years apart, said the basic same thing. We need to spend time, quality time, alone with the Lord if we're going to grow spiritually. If we're going to get beyond spiritual malnourishment and restore ourselves or get back to the place of joy and happiness and effectiveness in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Now let me ask you to just think about your life, your decisions. How much time do you spend with the Lord, and what quality is it? Is it just Sunday morning? Now, I've eaten some big meals. If you were ever at my house, we put away some food. But I've never eaten enough at one time that I wasn't hungry again before 7 days were passed. If we only eat spiritually on Sunday morning, we're going to grow spiritually malnourished. If we only eat spiritually just to do it, let me ask you about your devotional time. Does it mean anything to you? I pick on my wife a lot. I'm going to do it again this morning. Now, hers means something to her. I don't know how many times she'll say, I want to read you something out of this devotional. It meant so much. You know, that means she got it. She was thinking about it. She wanted to share it. And she wants to read out of what she got. Now, I'm that way some. But there's sometimes that if you ask me, so preacher, did you do your devotions this morning? Oh yeah, pat myself on the shoulder. I did. What was it about? Don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. It's like sometimes I'm reading it and I realize, you know, it's going in my eyes, but somewhere or another there's a little door right back here, and it goes in my eyes and that door's closed, and it never gets to my brain. I know, again, that never happens to any of you, but, you know, I'm sure it does. Our time with the Lord should be time that we can think, meditate, the Holy Spirit speak to us, so that we can experience His presence. You know, God created us for fellowship. I don't know what your concept of God creating Adam and Eve is, but you know, God didn't create Adam and Eve like it was Ken and Barbie, two little dolls to play with. God didn't create Adam and Eve like they were two little puppy dogs to bring some joy in his life. The Bible says, God says, let us make man, what's the next phrase? In our image. God created us to be like him. Now, we'll never be God, but he created us to be like him so that we could have fellowship with him, friendship with him. This morning you were talking in your Sunday school about praying to the Father. And that's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. But you know, if you grew up with a good father, there came a place in your life where you still looked up to him, you still admired him, you still honored him, but he became more than just your father. He became your friend. He became your hunting buddy, your fishing buddy, your golfing buddy, somebody you enjoyed spending time with. And so your Heavenly Father created you to be his child through a relationship with Jesus. But he also created you to be his friend. And he wants to spend time with you. Now, what do friends like to do? They like to hang out together. They like to share. I think about a preacher friend. He's a little older than I am in Oklahoma. I miss John like something terrible. Because we could get together and we could share and we could talk, and his theology on end times is just a tad different than mine. Not enough that we get mad at one another, and we'll talk about that, and we'll share and we'll fellowship and pray together and do a lot of things together. He's my friend. And friends began to affect one another. Any of your children ever picked the wrong friends? And they come home and you say, how come you dress like that? Where'd you learn that word? I don't like you hanging around that crowd. That ever happened to you? Or maybe you were the kid that picked the wrong friends. And your parents said, no. You see, when we begin to hang around God, our Heavenly Father and our best friend, we begin to think alike. We begin to share. And if you got a really good friend, nobody has to make you go look that friend up. You can't wait to get to be with that friend. Whatever it is that you do together. Maybe just go to the beach and sit there and talk. But whatever you and your friend, your best friend likes to do, you can't wait to do it. And it can't last long enough. I was telling them in Sunday school this morning, it gets dark, I'm about ready to go to bed. But I could name a dozen people that if they showed up at my house at midnight, flip on the lights and we'll talk till daylight because they're my friends. Now, some of them probably about 3 o'clock and I might be ready, but you know, there's some that are such special people in my life. It wouldn't matter what time they showed up or how tired I was because I can't wait to talk to my friends. God's like that with you. He can't wait for you to get into his presence. He's eager for you to come into his presence, eager for you to talk with him, eager for you to share with him. Eager with you to pour out your heart to him and listen to him and spend time with him. He wants to be your very best friend. The psalmist says, be still and know that I'm God. You didn't choose your birth family. You didn't choose your kids unless you adopted them. Chose your spouse. At least in our country we do. Now in some countries they don't even get to choose their spouse. But you choose your friends. And God wants to be your very best friend. And once you make a quality decision, I'm going to be still and know the presence of God. I'm going to be still and I'm going to choose to turn off the phone and the TV and the DVR and everything else, and I'm going to spend time with God. Now, for some of us, we might be a little awkward and say, Lord, I hadn't been here in a long time. But he's going to say, I've been waiting on you. I'm glad you're here now. So what if you weren't here last week? I'm glad you're here now. I could pick up my phone and call my friend John in Oklahoma. I haven't talked to him now in a couple of weeks. He's not mad at me because I didn't call him. He's just glad I called that day. God's not mad at you because you didn't spend time with him yesterday. But he's eager for you to spend time with him today. That old bus wouldn't run without gas. You can't exist and have the joy of your salvation without a present relationship with the Lord. You can't grow spiritually. And the reason I realize a lot of people don't grow spiritually is that year after year after year, they have the same attitudes and actions and nothing changes. They're spiritual babes this year, and they're spiritual babes next year, and they're spiritual babes the next year. That's one of the frustrations that you find with Paul writing to the Corinthians and Peter writing his letter of people that aren't growing spiritually. It's because they're malnourished. There's all kinds of things available. But if it just gets right here and the door cuts it off, but if it gets down in here and begins to flow through our life, then the very life of God helps us to grow and develop spiritually. I pray that it could be said about every one of us what it was said about Jesus. Remember what it was, how the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter ends? And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, in favor with God and man. It's sad to see an adult who never developed mentally. It's just as sad to see a Christian who never developed spiritually. The psalmist said, be still. Know that I'm God. And the Lord will be exalted. He will be exalted, lifted up, honored, and praised. I urge you, learn to spend time with God, quality time with God, and allow the Spirit of God to develop you spiritually into a mighty man or woman of God. You know, I mentioned Gideon a moment ago. Whenever the angel came up and said, hey, Gideon, mighty man of God, Gideon looked over his shoulder and said, who are you talking to? Not me. But Gideon became a mighty man of God. There's no Christian so weak, so powerless, so helpless but that he or she cannot become a mighty man or woman of God if they'll eat the right spiritual food, allow it to digest, and, you know, oh, it's easy to say, man, I hope he heard that. He really needed to hear that, what that preacher said today. Now, maybe it's me that needed to hear it. Maybe it's me. What does the old song say? It's not my brother, not my sister, not my, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, become the mighty man or woman of God, the warrior that God wants you to be. Father, I pray for this people and for myself that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. There's a scripture that Leonard read a moment ago, that we be not lukewarm. That we not leave our first love. But that you, Father, become the love of our life. Our Father, our best friend, the one that we delight in spending time in your presence. Show us each how to do it in our own time schedule, our own personality. Oh, Father, that we might become mighty men and women of God, and you might be exalted through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If you need to come and make some other decision, I invite you to come. If you just need to come and talk to the Lord at the altar, you can talk to me or not talk to me. It's important that you get it right with God.